Part 1. The Last Patrol. In no other country in the world is the love of property keener or more alert than in the United States. And nowhere else does the majority display less inclination toward doctrines which in any way threaten the way property is owned. Alexis de Tocqueville, Democracy in America. Tuesday, August 25th. Chapter 1. 3 hours after he'd broken camp, repacked, and pushed his horses higher into the mountain range, Wyoming game warden Joe Pickett paused on the lip of a wide hollow basin and dug in his saddlebag for his notebook. The bow hunters had described where they'd tracked the wounded elk, and he matched the topography against their description. He glassed the basin with binoculars and noted the fingers of pine trees reaching down through the grassy swale and the crater-like depressions in the hollow they'd described. This, he determined, was the place. He'd settled into a familiar routine of riding until his muscles got stiff and his knees hurt. Then he'd climb down and lead his geldings Buddy and Blue Roney, a packhorse he'd named unimaginatively, until he could loosen up and work the kinks out. He checked his gear and the panniers on Roney often to make sure the load was well balanced, and he'd stopped so he and his horses could rest and get a drink of water. The second day of riding brought back all the old aches, but they seemed closer to the surface now that he was in his mid-40s. Shifting his weight in the saddle toward the basin, he clicked his tongue and touched Buddy's sides with his spurs. The horse balked. "Come on, Buddy," Joe said. "Let's go now, you knucklehead." Instead, Buddy turned his head back and seemed to implore Joe not to proceed. "Don't be ridiculous. Go." Only when he dug his spurs in did Buddy shudder, sigh, and start the descent. "You act like I'm making you march to your death like a beef cow," Joe said. "Knock it off now." He turned to check that his pack horse was coming along as well. "You doing okay, Blue Roney? Don't pay any attention to Buddy. He's a knucklehead." But on the way down into the basin, Joe instinctively reached back and touched the butt of his shotgun in the saddle scabbard to assure himself it was there. Then he untied the leather thong that held it fast. It was to have been a 5-day horseback patrol before the summer gave way to fall and the hunting seasons began in earnest, before a new game warden was assigned the district to take over from Joe, who after a year in exile was finally going home. He was more than ready. He'd spent the previous weekend packing up his house and shed and making plans to ride into the mountains on Monday, descend on Friday, and clean out his state-owned home and bags for the arrival of the new game warden the first of next week. Bags, home of the Bags Rattlers, was a tough, beautiful, raggedy mountain town as old as the state itself. The community sprawled through the Little Snake River Valley on the same unpaved streets Butch Cassidy used to walk. Bags was so isolated, it was known within the department as the Warden's Graveyard, the district where game wardens were sent to quit or die. Governor Spencer Roulon had hidden Joe there for his past transgressions. But after Roulon had won a second term in a landslide, he'd sent word through his people that Joe was no longer a liability. As luck had it, at the same time, Phil Kiner in Saddlestring took a new district in Cody, and Joe quickly applied for, and received, his old district north in the Bighorns in 12 Sleep County, where his family was. Despite his almost giddy excitement about moving back to his wife, Mary Beth, and his daughters, he couldn't in good conscience vacate the area without investigating the complaint about the butchered elk. That wouldn't be fair to the new game warden, whoever he or she would be. He'd leave the other reported crimes to the sheriff.